I'll amen that as well. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful day. It's beautiful outside. We've had some cloudy days. We've had some rainy days. And today we've got a lot of sunshine. Not only sunshine outside, but sunshine in here. Let me say thank you for making the decision the very first Sunday of 2019 to be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. I know that perfect attendance is something that you shoot for, and today you've got it. So let's keep it up, right? But I'm thankful that we have visitors here. Visitors, let me say to you, you may be starting out the year looking for a church home. You may be thinking, I need to get involved. I need to get active. I need to find some place where I can get in and do the work of our Lord. Well, let me tell you, this is the place for you. Azalea City is not a perfect place because we are made up of imperfect people, but we're a bunch of imperfect people working together trying to get to a perfect heaven. And so that's who we are. We're going to call it like the Bible sees it. We're going to do things in Bible ways. We're going to love. We're going to encourage, and we're going to help work along the way. So please, if we can help you make Azalea City your home, we can introduce you to the elders today. We can introduce you to our other ministers. If you've got children, you've got college students, whoever it may be, we're blessed here. I am so blessed to know that I can start the year working with a great group of men who shepherd this flock. I can work with what I believe to be the greatest ministry team there is, and that's even with me on that team, believe it or not. But Jason and Justin, I love these guys. They're two of my best friends, and I'm blessed to work with them. I'm blessed to have the deacons, the teachers, all the members here. What a blessing it is to be a part. We have a brand new theme. George introduced it last week to us, and I appreciate that. Love the elders being able to speak to us and challenge us and encourage us. And that theme this year, as you can see, is put up behind us today. It's got our colors of kind of our new logo on it, and it looks good, I think. It's kind of catchy, and it's the best part about it is I think it's got a lot of heart to it, a lot of meat to it when it says renew. I believe renewal is a thing that we need to look at every single day of our lives. If today I want to be a better husband, I need to renew myself. If today I need to be a better father, I need to renew myself. If I want to be a better Christian, a better minister, a better worker, I need to renew myself each and every day. Taylor read to us from Romans 12. You'll hear that verse again throughout this year, I guarantee you. But in verse 2, it says, by the renewing, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's very important as we start a series on building a new you. When I say building a new you, I want you to know that that is Terry Cagle in that you as well. I'm talking to myself. There are things I need to do better. There are things that I need to be better at. But for us to understand the opportunity we have before us this year, and by the way, that opportunity is to be better in our worship to our Father. Today, again, it's great to have you with us today. I am blessed to be able to listen to these songs be sung, and Steve does a great job. Joseph, all of our song leaders do a great job in picking out songs that will direct our hearts in praise to God. It doesn't matter if it sounds good. It doesn't matter if I feel good about it. It's about God. Remember, George said He's on this throne. Jesus is on the one next to Him. And so it's about them. It's about the Godhead, the Trinity. But today, as we sing these songs, and we sound in harmony with one another, in unity with one another, we're singing out with one another, wanting to be the best we can for our God. And then as we gather around and we partake of what is a remembrance of our Heavenly Father's gift to us through Jesus Christ and His gift to us, we have our minds focused on what matters. Kevin got our minds to focus on the bread and the cup and the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We had Kent lead us in a prayer. And you hear in his prayer, he said, God, I pray that we put you at the center. You see, that's what our worship is. And so, do I need to examine myself? And listen, I'm not judging anybody. There was a moment that I even went silent. But maybe something caught my attention, maybe a focus, maybe I was touched with emotion, but I'm, you know, I wouldn't want anybody to judge me that if I didn't sing for a verse that it was because I didn't want to sing. But some of you, if you're not singing, maybe you need to renew yourselves. Because it's not about how good we sound. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God. It's about His Spirit. It's about focusing on the Trinity. That's our song praise to Him. We need to focus on what it means to devote ourselves to God. We have that opportunity before us this year. We have the opportunity to read our Bibles every single day of our lives and grow our faith this year. We have an opportunity, a tremendous opportunity to give. George stood up here and told you we have a very giving congregation. We were over budget, and then the last Sunday of the year, we were over budget about $9,000. We had a budget about a $19,000 contribution last week. You think God hasn't blessed us? He has. But maybe we need to even examine more. Again, we've been challenged by our elders to reach a new budget. You know, these are things that are before us this year, and I can't talk about it all today. But I will. I will challenge you, and I will challenge me to be renewed. To be what God wants us to be. And so as I begin this month in a series, I want you to think about if we could construct the perfect you and the perfect me. And I'm not talking about that we're going to walk a straight line the rest of our lives. I'm talking about being perfected in Jesus Christ. There is a big difference in being perfect and being perfect in Christ. Jesus Christ was perfect, so we don't have to be. We just have to be perfected in Jesus Christ. And so that's our goal today, to start with this. And so the question I have for you and the question I have for me as we challenge this, as we go out with the old and in with the new, is this. Is there a need for renewal? In order for us to be renewed, we have to see that there's a need for it. We have to see that there is a challenge before us. And I want you to know that there is a challenge out there. And that challenge is laid out to us throughout Scripture. There are hundreds of Scriptures, literally, we could go to today that would challenge us in being refreshed and being renewed. But today, I want to take you back to an example. The Old Testament, and again, I understand the New Testament pattern of worship is what we live by. And I will always know that, and I will always preach that. But the Old Testament is written for our learning. And there were a lot of mistakes made in the Old Testament. And so today, I want you to see how they easily forgot. Now, I want you to think about them for a minute. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 32, and you can go ahead and be turning there. But I want you to think about where they are. I need you to see the scene, okay, with me today. And I'm going to tell you, this sermon is probably not what I had in mind to preach. But as I was doing, and I'm not saying this in a bragging way, but I'm very proud to know that I am studying on my own as well. You know, sometimes I study for the sermon, but I need to have my own personal Bible study. And so I don't tell you that to brag. I tell you that to hopefully encourage you that even me, I need that. And so as I was doing my own personal Bible study, I was going through the Pentateuch again, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and I get to Deuteronomy, and just to know what all they've gone through, and by the way, all that happened so that Jesus Christ would come into the world, right? And so they get to Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is a retelling of the law, is what it literally is, okay? It's the law, that, and a lot of that has happened, but it's the law, okay? That's what it is. And so Moses is alive. Moses has been delivered up. He has been rescued out of that terrible decree that the Pharaoh put down to kill all those Hebrew male children. And he's been drawn out of that water so that he can draw God's people out of Egypt. And they've done that. And they've gotten to the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, and they've gotten into the wilderness. And you remember, it didn't take long for them to forget, right? They forgot what that God had done for them. And so Moses has gone up to receive the Ten Commandments. And while he's going up, remember, number one is no other gods before us. Aaron, who was the spokesman for Moses, is leading a charge to build a golden calf at the bottom of the mountain. So Moses, in frustration, and I don't really blame him. I've been there, done that. I've thrown things I probably shouldn't have thrown too. And just being fully transparent with you this morning, he throws the law and he breaks and he has to go up again and receive those commandments again. But they're in the middle of all of this and they're complaining about, we need water, we need meat, we need to go back to Egypt and be slaves. What a ridiculous thing to say. But if we're honest with ourselves, we're that way too sometimes. We forget how good we've got it. We forget that being a Christian is not the hardest thing in the world that the world wants to make us believe. It's not the most ridiculous thing. It's not the most radical thing. It's an easy, practical, blessed way to live. They forgot it. And so we get to Deuteronomy 32. And we're going to do some reading today, so bear with me, okay? We need to get this today. In order to lay the scene out in this series of lessons, we need to see what's happening in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 32, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today because I really like the way that this puts it in our terms, and so I want you to read along with me. Beginning in verse 7, this is called the Song of Moses. Now, songs ought to be praises, but sometimes there's some challenges. For instance, we just sang, "It is well with my soul." The last verse says that the trumpet of the Lord will sound and the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll. The Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Some people, that's a challenge because it may not be well with your soul. So there are challenges in songs, right? Well, I want you to hear the challenge in this one. Beginning in verse 7. Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples according to the number in his heavenly court, for the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is his special possession. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes. Does that not tell you God loved them, loves them? He protected them. He looked out for them. He was there for them. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods. He let them ride over the high lands and feast on the crops of the field. He nourished them with honey from the rock and olive oil from the stony ground. I'm telling you, God's just blessing them. Moses is singing praise. Remember this. This is how God's blessed you. He fed them yogurt from the herd and milk from the flock, together with the fat of lambs. He gave them choice rams from Bashan and goats together with the choicest wheat. You drank the finest wine made from the juice of grapes. But Israel soon became fat and unruly. This is why I really like this version. It's plain as can be. They became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plumped, and stuffed. Then they abandoned the God who made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation. They stirred up his jealousy by worshiping foreign gods. They provoked his fury with detestable deeds. They offered sacrifices to demons, which are not God, to gods they had not known before. to new gods only recently arrived, to gods their ancestors had never feared. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. The Lord saw this and drew back, provoked to anger by his own sons and daughters. He said, I will abandon them, then see what becomes of them. For they are a twisted generation, children without integrity. They have roused my jealousy by worshiping things that are not God. They have provoked my anger with their useless idols. Now I will rouse their jealousy through people who are not even a people. I will provoke their anger through the foolish Gentiles, for my anger blazes forth like fire and burns to the depths of the grave. That sounds bad as it is, and it is, but he's not finished. Let's catch our breath for a minute. Let it sink in right now. Think about where they were, what God had done for them, how good they had it. And then they slipped away. And listen to what happens. It devours the earth and all the crops and ignites the foundations of the mountains. Verse 23. I will heap disasters upon them and shoot them down with my arrows. I will weaken them with famine, burning fever, and deadly disease. I will send the fangs of wild beasts and poisonous snakes that glide in the dust. Outside the sword will bring death, and inside terror will strike, both young men and young women, both infants and the aged. I would have annihilated them, wiping out even the memory of them, but I feared the taunt of Israel's enemy, who might understand and say, our own power has triumphed. The Lord has nothing to do with it. He said, I'd have wiped them out if the enemies wouldn't have bragged. That's the only reason. If the enemies wouldn't believe that they killed them, I would have killed them all. But Israel is a senseless nation. The people are foolish without understanding. Oh, that they were wise and could understand this. Oh, that they might know their fate. How could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight? Useless their rock had sold them. Useless unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up. But the rock of our enemies is not like our rock, as even they recognize. Their vine grows from the vine of Sodom, from the vineyards of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poisoned, their clusters are bitter, their wine is the venom of serpents, the deadly poison of cobras. The Lord says, am I not storing up these things, sealing them away in my treasury? I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive, and their destiny will overtake them. Now, I'm going to stop right there, but you can see. You can see that this is not a good thing. Some people think that, I became a Christian. It was great. When I became a Christian, it was some of the most powerful moments of my life. And then all of a sudden, some of that zeal, I didn't renew myself every day. I didn't get up and sing Father God every day. Father God, I love Father God because it's a song, right? But it's also a prayer. Father God, just for today, help me walk your narrow way. See, every day of my life, I need to get up. You need to get up and say, God, today, help me to do this. That's renewal every single day. They quit doing that. And when they quit doing that, they got fat, they got bloated, and they got miserable. Because they were separated from God. If anybody ever needed to be renewed, and there was ever a moment in time when renewal needed to happen, it's right here in Deuteronomy chapter 32. There's lessons in Deuteronomy 32. Lessons for you and lessons for me. There are three of them. If I'm going to build a new you, and I'm going to start with the person in the pew, the person in the mirror, I'm going to start with me. I'm going to start with you and make it personal. Then I need to do some things that he reminded us of in Deuteronomy 32 and other parts of Scripture. Number one, I need to remember. He said in verse 7, you need to remember the things God's done for you. Today, right now, you know, I think the way it's used in modern society today is getting the feels, okay? Getting the feels. Today, I want you to get the feels, all right? I want you to feel this again. It happened to me in October of when I was 16 years old. My grandfather, Claiborne Havard, was here, and he was sitting right over here where Bill Pierce is sitting, and I made the decision to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he wasn't really able to, but he walked up those stairs back there, and he walked down into that baptistry, and he immersed me in the water for the forgiveness of my sins, and I'll never forget that moment. Not just because it was my grandfather who did it, that's minute in the grand scheme of what happened. What happened is I contacted the blood of Jesus Christ. And I came up out of, and this is what's really cool to me. I'm preaching at the place that I went down in the water. And so I came up out of that water to walk in newness of life. And from that point forward, God took my life. And he said, you're going to go into the ministry. And I can see my life, and I can see the journey, and I can see, and I didn't live a perfect life, and you know, what have you, but I got back to here at 41 years old. I stand before you today because I can remember those moments. And I can see God directing my life. And I don't ever want to forget that. But chances are some of you may have forgotten what that feels like. You may have forgotten what it's like to come and walk in newness of life and be perfect in Jesus Christ because you wandered off that path. You see, that's what happened. Well, today I want you to remember how good it felt to have every sin you've ever been carrying washed away. Today I want you to remember how good it felt when you identified with this congregation and we stood up and there was applause and we welcomed you and you got involved and you were great, and then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, you didn't stay involved and you wandered off the beaten path. But today, for whatever reason, we're back here. Don't forget. Don't forget how good God is. We sing the song and it seems so simple, doesn't it? The lyrics are simple. Our God is so good. But man, as simple as those lyrics are, there is a powerful statement in that song. Our God is so good to us. I mean, our God has blessed us beyond what we can even fathom. And as good as He has been to us, how have I been to Him in return? Don't forget how good God is. Don't forget how special it is to have a youth group. Do you know today, if it was not for men like George Spurlock and men like Larry Tart and men like Toby and men that were taking our youth at that time, Jeff Abrams, and teaching them, I may not have gotten to that moment. This is special right here. If your kids are not renewed and involved, then why not remember how it felt for you? Get them involved. You know, today I was standing up. I heard Justin make the announcement about Outdoor Bible. And I just want to tell Ellen and Philip and our education team, I can't commit to you because I will be committed in other classes. But if I have a moment where I can teach those children, I love Outdoor Bible. And I love our children. And I stood back here, and I'm not going to say their names because I don't want to embarrass them. But there were two ladies standing back there, and two wonderful Christian ladies. And it's probably been a little while since they taught. And they were standing there, and they really don't know what they're getting into. And I did a little bit of explaining, and probably not a very good job of it. But you know what? They said, hey, we're going to sign up and we're going to try it. Man, that's a renewal. They remembered what it was like to have people teach them or teach their children. And they want to be those people. And I appreciate that. had others come up to me and I'm like, hey, we'll get Ellen and some of the experts to explain it to you so that I'm not the one. But here's the point behind it, folks. They remembered how good it feels to educate people about the Lord. How good it feels to be involved in youth groups. How good it feels to be involved and know that people care about you on the pews beside you. Yeah, we've got empty pews. That just means we got room to grow, right? And we're going to grow because we're going to be rebuilt. We're going to be renewed. He told them, remember. Remember, verse 7. But he also said, rejoice. That's real important. If you go back and you look at verse 43, we haven't looked at it yet, but he said in this verse, rejoice with him, you heavens, and let all of God's angels worship him. Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles, and let all the angels be strengthened in him. If you leave out, I love this church. I don't believe anybody would doubt my love for you. And so I'm going to love us enough to challenge us all and tell us all the truth right now. If you leave out of here in a bad mood, okay, when we say the amen prayer and you walk like I just kicked your dog, okay, and you go and you bite somebody's head off at a restaurant or you bite somebody's head off at Walmart or your wife or whoever, please today, do not tell them you're from the Azalea City Church of Christ. Okay, please. Please. Because I want people to know that we are full of joy. Because I want people to know that we're full of Jesus Christ. The greatest sermons ever preached are not preached right here. They're preached out there. And you are preaching them. And I'm just going to comment like on J.E. Turner. And I know we use that a lot, but we're partnered with J.E. Turner. But I want to brag on Glenda and Jennifer and our others. When I go over there, I can see the Spirit of Christ in that place because of the examples of joy that is set before their principal, their teachers, and others who are part of that place. And let me tell you, that's encouraging to me. To know that people in public atmospheres, in public places where God is not supposed to be talked about, Jesus Christ, Azalea City Church, and everybody else is being glorified because of the joy that comes from them. And that can be all of us today. Wherever we go, we can take Jesus with us and we can rejoice. That's a challenge to us today to be renewed on that. He said, remember, rejoice. And this one's not found in there, but I promise you it's implied. He said, repent. Here's the thing about God. He wanted to wipe them out, and he talked to Moses. He said, I'm going to wipe them all out. Moses and God had a unique relationship. God said, we can deal with this. Don't. And so God stepped away from wiping them out. He wanted to kill them all, but the enemies would rejoice. Okay, here's the thing. God got to the breaking point. But through it all, he didn't kill them. Now, some of them died in the wilderness. They did. Because of their foolishness. Because they didn't believe that they could go and conquer Canaan like God had promised them. They died. But Joshua and Caleb, they led that next group. And you know, if you go through it, I mean, when you get to the book of Ruth, what a beautiful scene. And we know the story of Ruth, but she stays there and she stays and she meets Boaz. And she and Boaz end up having Jesse. And Jesse has, I'm sorry, they have Obed. And Obed has Jesse. And Jesse has David. And David, then the lineage through is Jesus Christ, right? We see all that God's seen come together. And so by him not wiping them out, Jesus came into the world. But a lot of them had to repent. Because it wasn't smooth sailing the whole way. We're going to close in just a minute with another passage. But I just want to challenge you right now that as you remember how good it felt to be on fire for God, the times you rejoiced in Jesus Christ, and knowing that today you need to come back home to that, there's a renewal process that happens when we repent and we turn from the world and we turn back from God. And I'm going to illustrate that with you now. I want you to turn over to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 7, Nehemiah 8. We're not going to read all of that, but we're going to talk about some of it. I want you to look at the beginning of Nehemiah 7 here just to let you know what's happening in their lives. After the wall, this is verse 1, was finished and I had set up the doors and the gates, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. I said to them, do not leave the gates open during the hottest part of the day, and even while the gatekeepers are on duty, have them shut and bar the doors, appoint the residents to Jerusalem to act as guards. What's happened here? They've built the walls back. But why did the walls get destroyed to begin with? Because Israel is not in Jerusalem. There was just a remnant that's coming. They're in captivity, okay? And because of that, Jerusalem, the capital city of our Lord's coming at that time, okay, was in Jerusalem. And the walls got torn down because they didn't repent, because they didn't remember, because they didn't rejoice, because they weren't renewed. And so now they get these walls built back. And they're coming back home. Because you know what they miss more than anything? They still ate. They still drank. They still had places to live. They miss worship. They miss the Word of God. And I'm going to prove that to you in Nehemiah chapter 8 now. In Nehemiah chapter 8, let's look at verse 1. In the seventh month, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people, it didn't say most of them, majority of them, it said all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on the eighth day of the seventh month, Ezra, the priest, brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children, old and new, old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Now, let me explain to you what he's going to do, what he's reading. Now, there's a lot of debate on what he did read. Some said he read the whole Pentateuch. I personally believe he probably read the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this is all coming full circle now, if you stay with me. What happened in Deuteronomy? What was the law? Then you get to verse chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, he read what we just read earlier. Now, here's what you need to understand about what's going on in Nehemiah 8. There are 962 years. 962 years. Our country is not near that old, right? 962 years between Deuteronomy 32 and Ezra reading in Nehemiah chapter 8. 962 years. This is after Joshua. This is after the judges, after Ruth, after Samuel, after David, after Solomon, after Elijah, after Elisha, after Isaiah's prophecies, after King Hezekiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Esther, and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. It's after the exiles return home that Ezra stands on a platform with all the assembly gathered. And he reads, Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood some of these challenging names. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord and great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, all those names, they instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they had listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food, to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's word and understood them. 962 years for the time that God said, I'm tired of them. They need renewal. 962 years that they didn't renew themselves. Even though Joshua led them across the Jordan River into the promised land. Even though they rejected all of that and they raised up judges who would rule the people, they would go right back into living that life to the point that they told Samuel, hey, we want a king and be like the other nations. And so God said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they rejected me. All this time, they ultimately end up in captivity. And finally, the remnant comes home. And it's 962 years later that they're renewed. That they didn't care how long Ezra read. They were just glad to be back home. Today, if you wait 9 minutes and 62 seconds, it's too long. If you wait 962 days, it's far too long. Don't even wait 962 seconds. In just a minute, Steve's going to lead us in a song. We're going to have the opportunity to obey the gospel. Or we're going to have the opportunity to be renewed. Let me encourage you to make the decision right now together. We stand and sing.